We're in a cafe in Brighton, and Robert Cohen is going to be interrupted by somebody who's going to bring his lunch, which is a bit interesting in this social space that we've chosen to meet. Robert, do you think most, if not all, solo performers prefer to be alone?
Prefer to be alone? Yes and no. There are certain advantages to being alone on stage in that you're not dependent on anyone else. So if you're really well prepared and you know the script well, then you can fly, potentially. The quid pro quo is that there's no one to help you if you get into difficulties. So, yeah, it has its advantages and its drawbacks.
Certainly at festivals, Edinburgh, Brighton, some of the fringe festivals, when I've encountered and got to know quite a few solo performers, they are just sort of on their own, though, in a way. That's apart from the fact that sometimes they come up on their own. I do sense a solitariness about the person that chooses to do solo shows a lot.
Well, the thing about Edinburgh in particular, and I was there 3 years ago with High Viz, when you're on stage on your own, that's fine if it's going well. So the rest of the time, it's incredibly lonely. You know, it can feel lonely enough of an uphill struggle when you're in a group of people with thousands of other shows to compete against. But when you're one person, that is very, very lonely.
But I don't see, as I see in other genres, you know, Robert Cohen putting out on social media, OK, who's doing a solo show? Let's get together. You know, that kind of let's become a tribe. There doesn't seem to be something good as well about creating work that isn't in relation either on stage or off stage to too many other people.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Yeah, there isn't a Facebook page for solo performers, it's true. Although I often say ad nauseam that I think every actor should have a solo show, at least one solo show up their sleeve, to give them back a little power, because as actors we're generally so utterly powerless, so dependent on other people.
Looking at a distinguished beard in front of me that has got a few white hairs in it, is there a wisdom now that you're ready to share, given that you're running a session here in Brighton on creating solo shows? Do you think there is a, I wouldn't say a recipe, but a body of wisdom that you've gathered?
There certainly isn't a recipe. There is, I can only really tell people what works for me. What works for me as a punter and what works for me as a performer, because quite a lot of things overlap. I mean, for instance, my things tend to be cut up into a number of scenes, whereas a lot of solo shows are just one thing straight through, someone talking constantly for 60 minutes, 80 minutes, whatever, which is the kind of thing, unless it's extremely good, can kind of have me nodding off, because it's just too much to take in, both visually as well as orally and mentally, I think, without some little breaks.
And in terms of thinking again about Edinburgh and Brighton and the solo performers that I've met, I wouldn't say it's 50-50. I'd say the majority of solo performers I've met have used a director, have actually in the rehearsal room, somebody at some stage, right from the start or at least later, has then been in there. But there are a significant number of others that make the choice, not just for economics, to say, no, this is me. I am the writer. I am the director. There may be a producer, but they're not coming in the rehearsal room. You know, and I am my own mirror.
Well, I'm not one thing or the other. It depends on the project. What I do tend to do, whatever I'm rehearsing, is to do it with a mirror. And so hopefully that makes me a bit more aware of myself physically, because it's very easy if you don't have an outside eye to get into particular bodily habits, which might inhabit everything you do. But director-wise, certainly with The Trials of Harvey Matusso, I had a director, and that was very important because it was a very wordy piece, and I knew I was going to need to accompany the storytelling with a certain kind of physicality. So I got Ralph Higgins, who's done a lot of physical theatre stuff, and he was very helpful in that regard. But even when I have a director, it's usually someone who's very busy, and I tend to do a lot of work on my own, and then every so often they will come in and look at what I've done and kind of make suggestions.
But I guess I'm imagining this. If you're in the rehearsal room on your own, you have to be at ease with yourself to do that. I know a lot of people that wouldn't dare close a door with just them in it, and they sort of flee outside to get their validation and to get their kind of sense of safety from social situations. There must be a temperament and a sense of inner confidence that you can lock the door, just you and the mirror, without going nuts.
Well, maybe. Or maybe it's just a matter of practicality. At the level that I'm at, the kind of economic model, so to speak, where I don't get funding and I don't have a wealthy producer behind me, I'm my own producer, it's very rare that you can find anyone without them paying them an awful lot of money who can be in a rehearsal room with you for 2 or 3 weeks, 8 hours a day, and work on something. So inevitably there's going to be a sense of improvisation in how you bring everything together and make it happen.
Are there things that you that can therefore achieve in that rehearsal room because there's not anyone else in that room?
Well, I suppose I'm not reliant on someone else's patience. I can spend as much time as I want going over one line that I'm not getting right without boring or inconveniencing someone else. Mm. I can also sometimes have a strop with myself in a way that I might be reluctant to do in front of someone else.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard that, and that's in literature about the creation of art, which is that creative conflict is essential, isn't it?
Oh absolutely, yeah.
So you're going to be leading a workshop in Brighton, which is, I guess, going to have people coming on who are either considering or are working on their own solo work. And we got, without, I suppose, giving too much of that away, so what are the steps? There's not a recipe, but what are some of the basic steps to creating solo work?
Well, as I say, if it's solo work according to Robert Cohen, it's about finding a structure which is more than just someone talking for a sustained period of time. Of course, you know, my stuff likewise is someone talking for a sustained period of time, but it's broken up. And also, it's important, I feel, to create a sense of there being people just off stage, even if there aren't any. In terms of the story you're telling, to create a sense of other people who are never seen. I mean, some of the, and that's not limited to solo shows, you know, some of the great characters in literature are people who are never seen.
Yeah.
You know, from Samuel Beckett to Arthur Daly to, for instance, Quatermain's Terms, for instance, which is an absolute modern classic by Simon Gray, which I saw again a couple of years ago when it was revived in London. There's a whole cast of offstage characters who you never see, but you get to know over the 2 hours or so.
And as someone who's done a lot of solo work, the characters that you've played, are they like puppets or ventriloquist dummies now hanging up in a cupboard and you could just take them down and activate them again? Or have they been buried somewhere?
I've got 3 shows on the slate and, you know, in a sense, capable of being revived, not quite at the drop of a hat, but fairly closely to that, because as I do these shows more and more, the scripts get easier to retrieve from my memory banks when they need to be.
But they're put away, you know, if you're about to make a big decision, you haven't got Harvey Matuso, you know, telling you, don't do that.
No, though I suppose by the time I've lived with these characters for a while, I suppose they become a little bit part of my personality, but then obviously they're infused with bits of my personality as well, whether it's Matuso, who was a real person, or Claudius, Hamlet's uncle, who's not a real person.
I think I can see your sandwich on the way here. Do you ever imagine playing yourself on stage?
No, not really.
Oh, hello. Here comes the sandwich.
Thank you.
Because some solo performers do that, and some absolutely would never do that.
Well, I think the reason I'm an actor is because I don't want to be myself. I'm probably more comfortable in my own skin now than I have been at any other time in my life. But even so, I am more comfortable on stage the further I am removed from Robert Cohen. Mm. And a lot of people do one-person shows, for instance, if they're recounting something that has actually happened to them, then, yeah, they use their own personality. Mm. But I can't imagine circumstances in which I would do that.
If there were budgets, would you prefer a director for your work?
I probably would. Because things that... Well, I get better and better at doing stuff and enjoy doing them more, the better I am, the longer I've been doing it. And if there was the money available, I'd not only have a director, I would hopefully get more bookings for my shows and be able to do them more times. It's very rarely, you know, I came to Man's Estate at a time when rep was very much and continues to be in The Descendant, and you know, I have friends and colleagues who are 20 years older than me in you know, equity and things like that, who built their career on doing rep, which is not an option, unfortunately, for most of my generation. And so it's very rare that you get to do that thing of doing a show night after night after night. And I've only had that luxury, if you want to call it that, twice, doing shows in Edinburgh. One was Reservoir Dogs many years ago, and more recently was doing High Viz in Edinburgh.
What's some of the best solo work you've seen over the years?
Probably the thing that really still stands out is mid to late 80s in Edinburgh. I saw a guy, can't remember his name, but the company was Pentabus, and they did a one-man version of All Quiet on the Western Front. I think, rarely for an Edinburgh show, I think that was a full-length thing with an interval, and it was totally captivating, even though it was just one guy.
And that sounds like it would be an example of, well, there's a character or characters on stage, but they world build around, don't they? It's all everything that's not on the stage that is also brought into that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there was him in a sandbag, which he played the part of the colleague that he carries across no man's land at one point. My recollection is that there was very little else on stage with him.
You're doing your workshop at the Rialto Theatre in Brighton. What would be your invitation to people who might consider coming?
My invitation would be that bottom line is you're going to have fun. You're also going to have fun without being in any way threatened, I think. A safe environment, I would say, in which to come up with ideas. I'm going to be encouraging people to do exercises and tasks which will encourage them to come up with ideas for things they might develop as a one-person show. They're also very welcome to bring ideas they've already got, and we're going to be looking at how to structure a show and to build a framework, which it's only 2 hours, so it's just a beginner's thing, but that they can hopefully be encouraged to go away and start working on something.
Robert Cohen, thanks very much.
Thank you.